Nobody cares how good am I in writing checks or creative designs. If I don't know how to communicate well, that is where they're going to judge you first.
Once you start, you keep learning. So when people come to me and say that you're a natural salesperson, I say, no, there's nothing natural. Because I have done 500 sales pitches, I kind of know what nerve to hit.
There has to be one kind of one person somewhere that you were saying that, I believe in you. And you just sometimes need that one push.
Going where you have to go is not always about numbers. I think it's always about making an impact.
Yeah. The universe is also working in your favor.
Correct.
It's important to get those signals sometimes.
Yeah.
And especially for people who are just starting out, no?
Just replay struggle with experience. Now think of it from the point of view that if this wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't know what success actually looks like.
Welcome to the Launch Lab podcast. I'm Ash, your host. I came to Canada on May 29, 2019, with nothing but a dream to make it big in this foreign land. Starting fresh, I quickly learned that success is built on resilience, adaptability, and having the right people around you. Now, I'm here to share that journey alongside other inspiring stories from fellow entrepreneurs who came here and paved their path to success. Every episode, we dive into life-changing moments, difficult decisions, and struggles which define the entrepreneurial journey in Canada. So if you're ready to build, grow, and chase your dreams, this is the right place for you. So let's launch it.
So let's start with your journey in Canada, Saas. First of all, thank you so much for coming for the podcast.
No,
I know you have a crazy busy schedule. And it's a privilege to have you because you just started this journey. We're also learning along with it. And I feel that when people who have been in the industry for more years than I have been, like we are just newbies, right? And if you guys agree, it's a confidence boost on its own. That's what has been happening with all the guests. And I've also felt that felt lucky, and I also feel I'm blessed because people here are ready to help you. So it's not that, I have made it, so let me just go to a certain kind of people, a certain kind of podcast. So like you, like I messaged you, you politely reply like, Ash, yeah, why not? Let's do it. Right? Not a lot of questions. Why? What? Show me some content. Not a lot of that keeps happening.
Yeah. And this was, this is a very important question. And somebody also asked me, somebody flew from Vancouver and they wanted to interview me.
Okay.
And his first question, why did you say yes?
Yes.
Like, why didn't you ask so many questions? I told him, generally I say yes.
Okay.
Also because I also want to, think that the universe is also working in your favor.
Correct.
It's important to get those signals sometimes.
Yeah.
And especially for people who are just starting out, no? And I feel that kind of a pain and the struggles that, somebody who's just starting out in any form of a journey, no matter what age that you're starting, even if you're starting an international student, starting up your business, starting up your podcast. I mean, there has to be one kind of one person somewhere that you were saying that, I believe in you. And you just sometimes need that one push. Maybe the time that I would give you might not be in the first 1 week because the schedule everything. But in whatever way that I could help you in somebody's journey, that's what I think about.
And I think timeline, that's completely fine. Everybody has their own schedules. But just you saying yes to me also puts in a responsibility in my head saying that now when somebody calls me for some help, I need to give back.
Yeah.
And I always keep saying giving back doesn't always have to be to the same person. It can be giving forward and let the chain continue.
Yeah.
Right? So that's universe.
Yes.
You have to let it flow because people who've helped me might not require my help. Maybe not immediately.
Yeah.
But of course, there are so many people who would require my help and I don't need anything from them in return.
From the knowledge that you have gained from somebody else.
Correct.
It's just paying forward. No? That
Correct. And that's how it's been. This journey of me coming to Canada from an international student to my citizenship.
So you were an international student first?
Yes, I was an international student. The whole route, the international student, then work permit, then my PR. And this year I got my citizenship.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So this has been a beautiful journey of 5 years. And I always keep saying this wouldn't have been possible if I wouldn't have had the right people around me. Right. So I strongly believe that if I approach somebody with the right intention, they'll get back.
Yeah. What do you think helped you in your journey from starting in 2019, you started in the last 5 years. Yeah. So that's a pretty condensed way to, you know, start as an international student, get into, maybe did you work for somebody first?
I did. Yes.
And then also started your business. That is pretty good timeline.
So I keep repeating this in every podcast, I started my first business when I was 17.
Achha.
So when people say that, oh, you've been lucky. Of course, I've been lucky. I've been blessed. I say blessed more than lucky. I'm grateful. But more than lucky, I feel that when I started at 17, now I'm 28. So it's been an 11-year journey. Yeah, Canada is a part of it, for sure. But with respect to just the business, because once you start, you keep learning. So when people come to me and say that you're a natural salesperson, I say, no, there's nothing natural. It's because I have done 500 sales pitches, I kind of know what nerve to hit. Right? It's practice.
It's practice, yeah.
Right? That is with respect to the business aspect. But I always feel that the communication skill and all these things, once expressing yourself is a very important skill and it can be learned.
Yeah.
Of course, for some people it might come easier than the other, but it can be learned.
Yeah.
So expressing myself has helped me a lot. Going out to the people, like I approached you, and asking them, not thinking of the consequences. I don't think I have any control over the consequence anyway.
Yeah.
So why do I have to think about it? Let it be. Whatever happens, happens for a good reason.
Yeah.
I have a very strong belief. That good reason might not come strike you right away. You might feel in the moment that this, oh my God, why me? Like, why out of a million people me? But then eventually you would be like, if it wouldn't have been for this, I wouldn't have been here.
Yeah.
Right? That's the belief system, I think, which I have developed over the years. And with respect to how Canada 5 years, I did my calculations. So I always say sometimes luck always favors people who have some prep. Right? You cannot just walk into a country and then say that, okay, now everything will sit at its own place. Of course, I've got people who helped me. I've got opportunities which helped me, which I wasn't anticipating when I came here, but I still had my own prep. How do I go? What do I do? Where do I approach? What skill set I want to get into? And it didn't happen 100% the same way. I might be thinking, initially when I came, I never thought I'd start a business here. Because I was doing a business back in India and I was working full time for a consulting firm, KPMG. So I knew that my blend is more business. I love meeting people. And business for me was meeting people, solving their problems. Right? It can be any. So that's what I've always taken business as. Like, you have to solve the other person's problem, right? When I came here, I used to always keep thinking, how do people run a business here? Especially immigrants. Itni mehengi insurance do, itna rent do, uske baad tuition fees do, which is 3x of what a Canadian will pay. And uske baad itna, everything is so expensive, especially when you come from India. And I came from Delhi, which is apparently an expensive city.
Yeah.
Right? Still mujhe aisa laga ki Delhi to bahut mehenga hai.
Yeah.
Right? तो लोग बिजनेस कैसे करते हैं सिंगल हैंडेडली घर भी लेना है मॉर्गेज भी लेनी है तो सो दैट प्लान चेंज्ड आई इवेंचुअली डिड इट बट कुछ तो दिमाग में था कि ऐसे ऐसे करेंगे उतना हुआ और उसके बाद अपने आप रास्ते खुलते रहते हैं बिग बिलीव ओके लेट्स कम बैक टू यू आई थिंक सो आई थिंक यू केम अराउंड द सेम ईयर 2019 So what made you move here and what were you doing back in India and how the shift and you came on a PR, I guess.
Yeah, my wife and I, we came on a PR. So she was the primary express entry applicant and I was the one who was just following her.
Okay.
So I think behind any kind of a change that you are looking for in your life, it always starts with a pain. So there is always a pain of remaining the same. Our pain of changing something in your life, whatever you do. So I think that pain had grown enough for, you know, you are looking for some kind of a change in your life. And that even means even if you want to start from scratch, you are ready for that kind of a sacrifice also. So I moved here at the age of 32.
Okay.
So like I said, it's at the same time, pretty much at the same time as you. So, and one thing I had a very big belief about that, you know, when you are moving to it's a different ballgame when you are moving to a different country altogether, mm-hmm. rather than moving to a different city. So if I moved from Punjab to Delhi, when I moved there, I was like, that was a big change again.
Yeah.
That was a big change because again, you're starting from scratch. But when you're moving to a different country where nobody speaks your language, people are cold, weather is cold, mm-hmm. right? And you know, no one, there's no family to call, you know, I need this, I need that. In fact, you would not tell your parents so much because, you know, you don't want them to worry also.
Yeah.
And then you realize, it's not the same thing when you move from a different city to a different in a different country. So when I moved here, then I think I realized in 2-3 months that I'm on my own and I have mm-hmm. to figure out things on my own, and I don't want to tell my parents everything now. I have to be very conscious about this because coming from a business family, you know, somewhere you feel that you brought up in a certain way that, you know, you are kind of dependent on your parents also, because it's such a environment that they have built it for you, that, you know, asking for help is so very okay. And somewhere this is good also, and somewhere that also, you know, stops you from taking risks automatically in your life on your own.
I think, cutting you here, but I think that's probably a culture also.
Yeah, that's a culture also.
Helping each other and taking help and not thinking twice, especially from your parents. Very American culture, that independent, isolated,
living all by yourself
types culture. For us, it was family has no boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that we all come from the similar culture, and it was never like thinking about it that you're asking help or anything. But when you are in a different country altogether, I think you just feel that there is some kind of a switch that happens. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you're on your own, you got to figure out things on your own. And I think that switch happened. And then I did not tell everything that what I was doing, because I thought that it will just create a lot more anxiety and mm-hmm. anxiousness for them. So, like, I quit my college, I didn't tell them. Then I started driving Uber and worked in chalk.
Quit your college, but you said you came on a PR.
I came on a PR, but as a substitute, as an alternate, I admitted myself in some information technology course. I'm a computer engineer from my background.
Okay.
So I thought ki, I mean, kuch nahi bana to kaam education se hi kuch ho jayega.
Okay.
Like, you know, you take as a backup option. But I went for a day and I'm like, shit, I can't do it.
And why so?
Because I think the gap between the studies and the way that, you know, because like you said, you started business at the age of 17. Mm-hmm. I also have done business. I've never sat for any job interviews and mm-hmm. all that. So I've always had my own business, even in India.
Okay.
So like going back to school again was like a big, again, you know, change of my, the whole personality that, you know, how do I fit in? And that age is also like, you know, 30, 31, 32 is like mm-hmm. where you got to do shit together now. You got to just figure it out. So I thought that it would be better for me to just figure things out rather than going back to school and, you know, just go through that structure, rather than how can I compress that time of learning? And the best way, best way to learn is actually just having conversations with people and, you know, communication and, you know, getting that confidence. Yeah. The thing that you are most afraid of, you got to do that thing first. Mm-hmm. And similarly for this is that, you know, you are you feel a little insecure in a different country, might as well just start talking to people.
Correct.
And talking to strangers, that might help you boost up your own confidence. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. That's why I got into sales jobs. Worked as a car salesman also at the same time.
Okay. From an engineer.
Yeah.
To car sales. And you were also running a business in India. And what was that about?
Back in India, that was already like stopped. I didn't do anything. I sold the business and everything.
But what was that business?
It was security and automations.
Okay.
It was like you see boom barriers, camera, security surveillances and all that.
Okay.
So we used to work.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to work with hotels and townships and all that. So we used to take those kind of contracts.
That was your own?
That was my own.
Okay. Wow.
That was my own. And so in between, something happened in India that I was supposed to go to Dubai. I did not go and packed my bags, picked like my business was already like, I stopped the business because I wanted to start again in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And that Dubai thing never happened a day before when I was supposed to fly. And that just shut me down like completely. And I was also supposed to get married in the next 3 months. So it was like a lot of things happening.
This is which year?
This is in, I think, 2017.
Okay.
A little before that, 2017. 2016, maybe. A lot of things happened at once. So then, tab banna shuru ho gaya tha plan ki that, you know, you got to start from scratch, sahas.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well just start from a new location, new country, new everything.
But that was an aspiration for you to move to Canada after Dubai, or this just so happened that this was the... this you could see some future in? Or
I mean, who could have imagined where I am today, being at 2016, where things are not working out and you are sitting in a, you know, dark room and you're thinking, what am I going to do about my life? And I'm going to get married. I'm going to have these many whatever responsibilities. So you don't think of these things that, you know,
so how is the next step you think of, not 10 steps from there.
Yeah. The next step is, okay, might as well just apply. Now you don't know, even when you get even if you start studying for IELTS and you study for whatever PR application, you are not even sure that's going to happen because the score.
Try
कर लेते हैं क्या मतलब कि कुछ ना कुछ तो करना ही है ना life में ऐसे थोड़ी कि बैठ जाओगे and you'll think that oh start cursing you and thinking मेरे साथ ऐसा ही होता है that's a part of life and I think more struggles and more pain that you go in your life you start realizing that you know it's a part of life. It's not something that you are only suffering. You are born to suffer.
Yeah, you get so normal talking about it and you don't. Now when you're talking about the struggle, it might not hit you that much because you've talked about it so much.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. And I always keep telling people.
Not just talked, I even lived it so much. It's lived.
Yeah.
Talk, to bahut log aise bhi motivational speaking bhi karke bol dekte ke, oh, you need to, you know, take care of, you don't have to bound.
Yeah.
By your struggles and pains, but you have to go through in order to sometimes understand how what really pain is. And once you make it an internal, embrace pain.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have embraced pain as a part of your life, then it just becomes a part of your life. Then it doesn't make you feel that, you know, oh, this is something that you never expected. It is bound to happen. Something that goes up has to come down.
Has to go down. That's the law of the universe.
Yeah.
No, but with struggles, I always keep mentioning when people say you must have gone through a lot of struggle because again, when you come as an international student, it's not easy.
Mm.
And I have never endorsed the idea that it was very easy for me.
Yeah.
But I always keep saying that it has always been an experience. So I say that just replay struggle with experience. Now think of it from the point of view that if this wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't know what success actually looks like.
Yeah.
So I might not be where I am, where I think I have to reach right now.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I know that at a level, I know I'm successful. My level of success can be very different from yours and anybody else because it's very different.
Yeah.
It's relative.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is that if I wouldn't have gone to that warehouse the third day of coming to Canada, and if the other person would have asked me to sweep the floors, it would have hit me that, Ash, you are meant for better things. You're not here to sweep floors. And I'm not saying that's something which in a discouraging way, but what I'm saying is I know my worth. Sometimes you have to go through it to know, okay, because I took things for granted, which I didn't even realize. Was lag raha hawa mein, India mein, when I started my business, there was nothing to lose.
Yeah.
My dad had a house. My mom cooked food. I drove my dad's car. Even the area where I started the business was owned by dad. So no rent, no electricity. What was there to lose?
Yeah.
Glad that I started.
Yeah.
Because it was only going, it would have been just going better in any sense. Even if the business doesn't go better, personal experience becomes better. You keep doing it, you keep doing it. You realize, okay, this is wrong. There's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Right. I went to Delhi University. It was a premium university. I went to good school. I'm privileged. I keep saying that I come from a place of privilege because I didn't think that this is something which you have to strive for. This is what you get.
Mm.
Because I was born into a family born into like this, yeah, right? Yeah. And then when I went to, after my college, I got into KPMG. So, it apart from the salary which you used to get, which was shitty, I think 25,000 rupees you start with, everybody who entered KPMG was privileged.
Mm.
I used to laugh and see that, and then just think, until then I was making my own money, but I was just thinking that people get their own iPhones and the salary is 25,000. iPhone at that time in India used to cost 70,000 rupees.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because I stopped taking money from home when I was 17. When I started doing my own work, I was like, okay, let me make my own money and let me spend it. But again, I was making my own money for my fun, not making money to survive.
Yeah.
When you come here,
the survival mode on.
So, it seems that, okay, survival ke liye, if someone's asking you to sweep the floors, that's when it strikes you like, nahin, nahin. Now let me, now game on.
Yeah, but for me, it was a little different. Like in terms of, even it if...
Must be, yeah.
Even if, like I totally have a lot of empathy for students, especially because that age is also...
Yeah, I was 22.
Very sensitive age. You know, you are growing and you are trying to understand how the world really works.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very, very different world altogether when you're starting at that age. I think, Isli, that's why I have a lot of empathy for students specifically because I think you're not just going through financial struggles, but you're also going through a lot of mental struggles.
Figuring it out.
You know, because now you have a lot of pressure also to make it worth it because your family believes in, you have to make something out of you. You have taken a huge risk coming over here. That is one part of a struggle. Another struggle is I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm depressed. I have nobody to talk to. I live in this cold country where, you know, I don't even have any friends to talk about. So there is a lot of things happening for a student life. But for me, when I came here and whatever things that I did, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it like, oh, I'm getting to drive Uber. Oh shit, this is crazy. Right? Anything that I did was because I never got these kind of opportunities in India. For example, if you drove a car as a driver in India, you looked down upon.
Yeah.
And your family will never talk about it to their friends that you drove car for other people as a driver. But here, everything is normalized.
Yeah.
And even if you don't tell your parents, but you, it's not just for your survival, but you start enjoying that job for a little while and you are like, huh, it's not as bad as you think. What you're getting out of it? The positives are that you are talking to strangers, you're getting to know about the country, you are learning a lot about their culture, you know, and apparently, like, I had so many people coming into sitting in my car where they're talking about businesses because I would initiate conversations about businesses. So what kind of a business? I mean, people are talking about, you know, how they sold a company for $70 million sitting in my car backseat. Like, holy shit, this is the kind of a conversation. It was like a podcast while driving over.
Yeah. Good concept.
Yeah. So I thought from that point of view. So I never thought that, you know, working in a chocolate store when you are serving at Eaton Center outside in the mall and you are saying, who wants free chocolates? Who wants free chocolate? Right?
No, but I think that's because of your perspective.
Yeah.
Again, yes. That's what I was saying, that my struggles, I've loved it.
Hmm.
I embrace them, as you said. As I keep saying, they are experiences. Hmm. If I wouldn't have gone through those, I wouldn't have appreciated or had that much gratitude today where I am.
Of course.
Wherever I've grown, maybe 1, 2, 3, 5 steps. And of course, I need to grow. I know the vision. But what I'm saying, at the moment, I am only able to appreciate it because I have folded clothes at Hollister. And when I came, I was this big shot KPMG. Right out of college, I got into a
entitled,
big
no?
four, right?
Mm.
So what can go wrong? I'll come here, a bank will hire me. But then you realize you have to go through all this and then you start having fun along with
it. Yeah, you have to have fun.
My first job at a warehouse got my first business contract here because the HR manager there was also... So I used to do events.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Event management and choreography. So wedding choreography was my first business.
Back
very
in
different
India?
From what I do.
Okay. Yeah.
yes.
Opposite.
I trained in dancing for 8 years of my life from Shamak Dawes Institute. So I do wedding choreographies, and my mom's she's an artist, so she also is into events.
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was, when I came here, I was also looking for other opportunities to teach dance here and all that.
Achha.
Was happening here, right? So the HR manager used to organize her own events, and I had no clue. One day I see a banner in Brampton, and it says, call this number, we're looking for performers for a Diwali event. Mm-hmm. I call her and she says, Hira. I still remember her name. And I say, Hira from Powerhouse. That was the warehouse I went to. She said, yes. She said, Ash. She remembered me.
Mm.
I said, yes. And I said, I'm a dancer. She said, yeah, you were the guy who I hired for the for scanning the labels and stuff. I said, yes, but I am a dancer, performer, and I would want to perform in your event.
Mm.
And I said, I won't charge you. Because my idea was to get out there, there'd be 2,000 people, somebody would come reach out to me if I do the good thing. But then, if I wouldn't have gone to that warehouse,
wouldn't have happened.
Right? Who could have thought in their wildest imagination that you'll meet a person there? Like you driving an Uber.
Yeah.
Every time I take an Uber, sometimes when I don't want to drive or I'm getting late for work, I will take an Uber and make sure that the Uber driver is a client of mine. So I always keep telling my friend, and he keeps laughing. He says, how selfish. I say, what is selfish in this? I am driving an Uber, I'm paying him, I know that he has to do his taxes, and Uber drivers have their self-employed taxes, I'll do it for them. So every time I drive an Uber, I always say, it's not, I made money when I was sitting at the backseat. And my friends keep laughing, how? I said, I made them a client, I make sure I make them a client. So for me, driving an Uber is not a liability anymore. So I love not driving. I love if I have to take an Uber, I'll take an Uber. Right. I'll make sure I'll make them a client. Because every Uber driver has to do their taxes.
Has to do that.
And more or less half of them are not happy with their accountants. So I'm lucky.
Obviously. No, that is smart.
So again, that's perspective, right?
Yeah.
So you could have also said that at 32, I was running a business. Abhi kya kar raha hu main? Uber aake. And then you could have told everybody back home.
Yeah, but like, in, I would say the conflicting thoughts are always there in your mind somewhere or the other.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, which
always,
one
yes.
which one do you want to, you know, water more?
Yeah.
Aisa nahi hai ki that, you know, I'm all the way positive, all everything is green.
Yeah.
So there is always like what kind of a crop, what kind of a plant that you want to water is also really important.
Correct.
So you just choose what kind. If you just want to be in a dismay, you want to be heartbroken, then you start listening to Arijit song all the time. But if you want to just, you know, get out of that zone and start imagine dragons and, you know, start your day with that, and that's a different, you know, you start your day like that.
Correct. No, you have to control your energy as much as you can and take it towards the positive side. Okay, so you came to Canada with your wife and you came with a PR. She was a primary applicant. So you landed in June 2019. So what happened? You were doing Uber. So your wife was, did she get a job or did you work anywhere?
I worked, like
after
I told
Uber,
you.
Chocolates.
Uber Chocolate was like primary where I was doing initially.
How long did you do this?
I think 3-4 months.
Okay.
And then immediately after that, I got sales job at a car dealership.
So did you apply for a... car sales, there's some license.
That there's a license that you go. So in between, I was also doing that because I thought that where can I not hit the ceiling?
Yeah.
Where the ceiling is just open and I can do anything.
Sales commission.
Sales and commissions. So that's what I thought. And car dealership is where you thought that you think, again, like my perspective is money, that which can have no cap. Another thing is where can I gain a lot of experience by really being on the road, in the dirt. And car sales is considered to be that kind of a dirt. You know, which makes you raw and, you know, unapologetic about, you know, if you're asking for a sale.
Yeah.
So that helped me a lot to change my perspective.
And not IT. So you were an engineer. You didn't think that IT gets you paid a lot of money.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have been good at it.
Okay.
I'm not, I wouldn't say that I'm a computer engineer. I just did it for the sake of, you know, sake of doing it.
Okay.
So I'm not a computer engineer. From heart. I'm creative from heart. So I always thought about that, you know, even the business that I was in India, that was just like, I mean, I wasn't really, that wasn't my direction where I wanted to go. But I had to do it in order to understand where do I really want to go.
Fair enough. You have to start somewhere and then realize that, okay, this works or doesn't work.
Yeah, because when I was in India doing this, somebody hired me as a consultant for their media agency as a creative director. as
how did that come?
My friend owned one of the digital marketing agencies.
Okay.
They got the biggest client in India.
Okay.
And he was like, holy shit, now this has come true. Mm-hmm. Sahas, you're good in content somewhere that, you know, maybe it was reflected in something that I did, that he realized that Sahas has a little bit of a potential in that.
Yeah.
So he said, why don't you consult me for this brand? Mm-hmm. We did something and he loved it. Client loved it. And then he gave me 15 more projects.
Wow.
And that was on the side gig. And then
All happening in India.
And that's where I realized I really have, passion for creative and content and all of these things. My mind works better in that and rather than selling boom barriers and tire killers and cameras. So back in the mind, I always had that I wanted to get into this creative field only. So that helped me to transition here also when I started my business, that this is what I need to do eventually, but how the journey is going to be, it's automatically going to unfold the way that it is.
Yeah, so Uber happened, chocolates happened, and then now we get to know that you already had a knack for the content thing. Yeah. So what after that, and when did you make your Instagram page? You have about more than 500,000 followers. So how did that happen? So let's start.
So when I was working with this
car sales,
I was already making some content for them.
Okay.
In videos. And that is me being a car salesman going and talking about marketing to them. And I'm saying, your page is shitty. We've got to do something about your marketing.
Okay.
You don't do anything. You don't pay me anything extra. Let me start making videos for your social media. And let me handle the whole social media account.
Yeah.
And that's when I just started thinking that how can I give them value without even asking that I need a return on that.
Very important. This is the point to be noted, which I was talking initially when you said how it condensed it happened.
Yeah.
And I said you had to go out, tell people what you can do for them.
Yeah, problem solving. No?
Yes.
At the end.
So, and that is something which a lot of people don't do. Mm. And I keep telling people, there's nothing such as failure. They don't know you. You don't owe anything to them. You're doing it as a favor to them. Mm. So you have an upper hand. Mm. You're doing it as a favor.
Yeah.
So what can go wrong? Go to them and tell them. Like, if I would have approached you, you could have just said no.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario. I don't know. You don't know me. I don't owe you anything.
Mm.
But you said yes.
What is the worst can happen?
So you had to go there. So that's an important business lesson, which I keep telling if people ask me, like, go approach them.
I think also free work is also very underrated. Undervalued. Like if you're working, you think that, you know, you always need to get paid right away. The transaction needs to happen right away. It's not how the world works.
Yeah.
Sometimes that transaction might take a little while, but you have to give selflessly into the job also in order to get somewhere. Maybe you're not ready maturity wise, or maybe in terms of the talent that you have, you're not ready for it right then. But maybe you have to gain that talent in order to work free for somebody for a little while in order to get there.
And of course, you're also getting exposure.
Yeah, you're getting exposure.
Both ways.
So something that you are gaining.
Yeah. So you did that with the car
company. I did that. I started making some videos and managing the social media. And one day the manager comes in and says, you're doing a lot for me for our dealership.
Okay.
I want to get you start paying some kind of a top of it. I go, yeah, okay. You don't have to. Okay, but I'll charge this much.
You have to pay your bills.
You have to pay the bills. So I think I was the only salesperson who was also getting a little bit of because of the marketing that I was doing for them. But at the same time, I was also having my marketing business separately.
So you started that?
I already started the marketing. I was mostly doing with real estate investors and real estate agents.
Okay. You were doing the content?
No. For them, I was mostly doing like in terms of performance marketing, which means designing their landing pages. I mean, the team was designing the landing pages, managing their ads, helping them with conversions and helping them with social media presence and performance marketing side of the business.
This is which year?
This is again in 20. It started somewhere around 2019 December, and up till 2020 end December again.
So how did you start this? Did you have a team in India? Because did you do a course?
No, I didn't do a course. I've just learned everything from mentors and people around me and whatever resources that I could get hands on.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I started, it just started when I joined one of the masterminds and when I came to Canada. I think in the first 6 months, I realized that, you know, I really need to be surrounded by people who are smarter than me. And real estate was a hype. And I realized that I need to be in the real estate somewhere. And there was one mastermind which was happening in near airport.
Okay.
And the entry to that boot camp was $2,500. And you are saving every penny as a new immigrant. And I never told anyone that I spend that kind of money, especially to your parents, because they wouldn't make sense of it. Ki, why are you spending lakhs of rupees on?
Lakh rupees.
Well, conversion hi aayega. And that just helped me to, because I knew that, you know, you have to be in the room. Mm-hmm. If you have to be in somebody, you have to pay your way, or, you know, somewhere that it has to be a transaction to be there. So I went to that room. I was surrounded by people who are like crazy. They are successful. I see myself in their shoes one day, or probably in a different way. Then after the bootcamp finished, and the guy said that, okay, so if you really want to be a part of this mastermind, which is for 6 months, you have to pay $25,000. And I'm like, holy shit, this is a lot of money. But in my mind, then last night, the day that he said, and the whole night, I just kept wondering, how can I be a part of that mastermind? My mind was only stuck that how to solve that problem for me, not look at it as a big amount. Money was not a criteria, even though I had no money. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking, how can I be a part of that mastermind? And I was making all those permutations and combinations. Okay, I need to say this in order to haul, like, I'll ask him that, why don't you give me the money on interest and I'll pay you in 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. And I said that. So I went there next day and I said, okay, I really want to be a part of your mastermind, but here's the deal. Mm-hmm. I don't have money. Mm-hmm. And you give me the money, $25,000, and I'll give you interest every month, mm-hmm. on the money that that I owe you. And after the end of 6 months, you'll take the principal amount as well. And he took a moment and he said, let me think about it. That's too easy. Mm-hmm. Why don't you do something crazy in order to know that how can I trust you, or how can I, that you really want it? Then I think the boot camp was pretty much over and we were going in the bus, and that bus were 40 investors and strangers and real estate agents and all those kind of people. We were going for dinner. And he said, oh, this is Sahas, new immigrant from India, doesn't have too much of credit limit, and he's here to sell himself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit.
Wow.
Like, this shit is just, shit just got real. Now I got to do something. I think at that moment, you go in that fight or flight mode. And because you are being watched by 40 strangers, that you got to do something, and they are expecting something, or you're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to do something crazy. In my mind, I was thinking that, what is the worst can happen, like, to that conversation? What is the worst? Am I going to die? You get that fight and flight mode, Mina.
Yeah,
you feel that. Am I going to die in this moment? No, this is not that kind of a situation where you're going to die, because your heart is racing very fast. Yeah. Then what is the other worst thing that can happen? People are going to say no, they're going to make fun of you, and tomorrow they're even going to forget your name.
Yeah.
Okay, I can deal with that. So I just, removed my sling bag and I stood in the bus and I said, I don't even know, Ash, what I said. Mm-hmm. I just kept on speaking something or the other and just kept selling myself in that moment. I just had 2-3 minutes and somebody just stood up and said, I'll give you $2,000. Why? Why are you giving me $2,000 for me just asking for it? I need to ask more, because it's 10 times I need to raise.
Yeah.
I kept on asking, and in the next 3 minutes, I raised $25,000. And the bus went crazy. The people went crazy that, you know, what just we witnessed. And I was shivering myself that, you know, what did I just do? What did just happen?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, you know, like, in, I was like really shaky, because what just happened? Like, people have given me money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first guy who gave me the money, I just went to him later on when we were having dinner, and I asked him, I'm really confused. Why did you give me money?
Yeah.
Because it just happened to snowball after that. Somebody gave me 2,000, 10,000, 18,000 and all that. I was like, why did you give money? He said, you were ready to embarrass yourself. So I thought that I could trust you. You didn't care about how you will be perceived by people.
Correct.
And that confidence that you had when you were asking for it, it just made me trust you more. So I believed in you for that particular moment. And I was like, I never thought about it.
That's such a great lesson. Yeah. While you're talking about it, I'm getting goosebumps because it's like thinking about it and living that is so different. Like yeah. being in that moment
yeah.
and doing that. But I think that's what business is. You yeah. have to. With this podcast, I cannot think about trolling and comments. What I want to think about is thank God I have people commenting.
So. yeah. yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's a perspective shift.
That changed my perspective altogether. That okay, so this is how people perceive you, and I have different stories made up in my mind, which is not true,
mm-hmm.
and people perceive you in a different way.
Yeah,
and then I became a part of that mastermind, and then I didn't know what to do being a part of, because I don't own a real estate. I don't have money. Now, mm-hmm. what do I do? Then I realized that, okay, there is a gold rush and I need to sell them shovel. And that is marketing. So the first client that I had from there, I told him that, let me do the marketing free for you. The moment when you make a commission on this deal, I get I don't get a cut, but you get to public tell that, you know, I've helped you. I think within 15 days of me helping him, he made $50,000.
Real estate.
Investor.
Okay.
Real estate investor. So he made $50,000 and he just blasted on social media that, you know, Sahas helped me and, you know, all this. Then I started doing workshops, webinars. Then people started being my client. And I think in the next 2-3 months, I made 5 times the money that I asked from people that night.
Okay, so $100,000 putting into more than $100,000 in perspective. But also, I would just want to go a little back. You mentioned that you were in car sales before that.
I was still in the car sales.
Still in car sales. How much were you, on an average, you can expect as a newbie making in car sales? Because you're good at sales. Somebody who's decent and good at sales can make.
I think everything starts like depending on commission structure and the place that you are living. But I think on an average that $2,000 to $4,000.
Once you start. Yeah. And you have decent enough speaking skills, because that's what is important is sales.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that is where communication is really strong.
Yeah.
Whatever the soft skills that you learn from your school and when you were growing up, they are actually going to be the most important skills in your career.
Can't agree more.
Nobody cares how good am I in writing checks or creative designs. If I don't know how to communicate well, that is where they're going to judge you first. Your personality is where they're going to judge you from your soft skills, the way that you speak, the way that you carry yourself. All of these things come in place for informing an opinion about a person.
That's another business lesson which you just talked about, and which I felt again after doing my business. Again, going back to my first venture, was that people don't see my dance skills the first day they meet me.
Yeah.
Initially, people used to ask for some work. Eventually, they did not even do that. They used to meet me. They used to say, okay, perfect. Because it was what picture of them imagining how they would look I was giving them, which was I communicating it to them.
Mm.
And it wasn't me showing them some dance moves.
Mm.
So when people said, you must be a great dancer, I said, no, probably they are much better performers in the market who are much professional than me, who can go to DID, Dance India Dance and all. I cannot.
Mm.
I just know how to create a relationship of trust.
Yeah.
That is more important.
And that is more important, yeah.
So where you mentioned that nobody is checking what you are doing eventually, which you must be, which you would be good at for sure. But that's not something which is the only thing which would take you to that deal.
Yeah.
It has to be a combination of your communication.
Yeah.
And the other thing which I keep repeating on is the way you carry yourself does matter.
Yeah.
So when people say appearances don't matter, I personally feel from my experience of what, 7, 8, 9 years, appearance matters. I'm not saying you have to be the most well-built. I'm not saying you have to be looking, have the best hair, the best clothes, a Gucci watch. No. What I'm saying is you should be well-groomed.
Mm.
People should know that you take care of yourself. Hence, you can take care of them.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that's about it. I just wanted to add on to your thing. Because I just feel what you are telling about is something which I strongly resonate with. So I have that urge to keep adding on to it.
People focus a lot on the skill and expertise also, no?
Yeah.
Like, I need to develop that. But nobody works on their soft skills in for that matter. So I think, and that is very much underrated skill to have. So I think communication is number one that you really need to focus on, you know, how do you articulate things and how do you communicate? How do you put your point forward? How do you detail it down for somebody, a fifth grader to understand what you're talking about? So that I think somewhere I have to give it to my growing up, like schooling and everything, that has to do a lot with that, because once you develop those things, it is never going to go away from your life. And the more you practice, it's even going to be better. Sales is that. The more you talk, the more you practice, the more you are exposed to other people in communication, you learn.
You know what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You somehow feel that this person would want to hear this. And there is no technique to it.
Yeah.
It is just experience.
Nobody wants to get sold now. That is number one. Nobody wants to get sold. Even when you're creating content, even if when you are, you know, selling a car where you know that you are supposed to sell, but you're not supposed to sell.
Yeah, but that just one statement is so difficult to explain. You have to live it, I feel.
Yeah. That is very difficult to...
I mean, you're doing your courses. I'm sure you're doing some part of it in your courses, but I don't know. I still cannot tell you how I close a client. I don't have a tuck steps. Mm. Okay. There's one and there's a conclusion.
Yeah.
I know when to conclude.
Yeah.
So I have to push brakes and I know how to start. In between, what happens is natural.
That is true.
Maybe people have a pattern
how to.
Yeah, because I see a lot of videos on YouTube how to close a deal in 3 easy steps and this. Personally, I don't.
Yeah,
I have the initial, I have the end. In between, what happens has to be natural.
Yeah. I think, again, coming out from a problem-solving perspective, if you understand what is the pain point of your client and the customer, if you are able to give a solution or understand their feeling and emotion, having a little bit of a logic really really does matter. But understanding the emotional pain is also equally important.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot just think about that the solution has to be based on logical numbers and statistics and what the data is saying. That is one part. Another part is like, what are they feeling about it? And what is them making them miss in their life if the solution is not presented to them?
So I think what I can infer from it is that you're saying that you have to make sure that you also have to believe that what you are giving them as a solution will make their life better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Empathy is number one skill set to have in any kind of a business. You have to empathize. You really need to feel something that the other person can achieve with the kind of help that you can provide them. You have to feel.
And you are the best at it. You have to keep channelizing that. Yeah. If I don't give this to that person, it's not my loss that I don't get the revenue, it's their loss.
Yeah.
How can I let that happen?
How can I let them happen?
It might sound arrogant, but
no, it's not.
When you think from the inside, like, I need to give this person this help, and I know his business will, his or her business will take a leap from here. So I need to make sure that's my responsibility to tell that person that how this will go.
Yeah.
Right, like the other person who, the guy who invested in you and you made your first client and you made him $50,000. If you wouldn't have, he wouldn't have made that $50,000, right? So you have to make sure that you go with all your weapons and make sure that you make the other person realize your importance, that this is important for you, not for me.
Yeah.
I'll get another client, but you might not get someone like me because I'm unique.
Yeah. I mean, it's very difficult in this time that we are living in to be remarkably, skilled and irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Right? If you are irreplaceable, you are invincible.
You're God.
So I keep reminding this to my team and to myself also, Sahas, you're replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, grounded. You cannot be in that position where, you know, you are perfect and you are God-like that, you know, everybody wants you. Yes, there are possibility that you could be on the peak, but, and that peak is what people are also looking for. That where I cannot do this without this person or this company or this human being. So see what is the best version of that you could become over the period of time. So best version of you, yourself in growth trajectory, you got to see that, you know, where you can reach to that expertise level.
You started, was that also Squid Media or Squid Media was born later? So what you were doing for your clients?
Squid Media was always there. It's just that the kind of services that we're providing, that transformed over the period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So earlier, like I said, it was just ad conversions. And my like to give a lot to my friend and a mentor who was back in India, who was helping him in the background.
Okay.
Who helped me to, you know, he had his own team and everything.
The same guy who got you the first project?
No. He's different. He's a different friend of mine. So he helped me a lot in the background in order to, you know, make sure that we execute on those projects. And I was learning a lot during that time. So I was taking the deals and I didn't know shit what to do about them. And he was the one who was also training me and helping me out understand. So I understood everything from a real life scenarios instead of reading in a book or from, obviously there is something that you're reading or watching on YouTube videos or whatever. But if you get an exposure to learn from real life problem solving, that is what I was doing. And people were paying me for it. It's even better.
Okay, so this is 2020 and then you're doing your car sales. So when did you quit car sales? And when you quit car sales,
2021.
How much? 21. So you did that for about a year and a half.
About a year. So yeah. 2020, yeah, because COVID happened in between.
Yeah, so car sales went down.
We were at home for and that's the time actually I did a lot of workshops.
Blessing
and
for you.
Yeah, marketing business was like.
But you were taking those workshops online?
Online.
Okay, and you were in Toronto?
Yeah, I was in Toronto.
So you were just doing online workshops just in Toronto or?
Everywhere, like.
In Canada?
Yeah. We were doing just 100, 200, 300 people used to join every week.
These are paid workshops.
These are free workshops. And then I used to pitch.
Okay.
Not the course. My services.
Okay. So the people who were taking these workshops, what kind of people were taking these workshops?
Real estate agents, investors.
Businesses. Okay.
Businesses, yes.
Okay. So this was not a workshop to learn how to do marketing. This is a workshop where you were telling people how you can help them.
How marketing
can
help
them. Or how they can themselves help them.
Yeah.
And if they want to learn more.
Yeah.
They can take your, or if they want to outsource, they can take your service.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Telling them what you are doing wrong. Okay. This is how it needs to be fixed.
Okay.
And if you don't want to do it and want somebody else to help you out, then this is what we
can. So your Instagram page was live then?
Yeah. Sahas Chopra. Yeah. I was doing a little bit of Instagram then. But I think very religiously, I started doing Instagram in 2022.
Because right now your Instagram is about, it can be about any current affair topic, current affair, right? What you were doing or what we do as a profession is not what your Instagram shows.
Yeah.
So you're not promoting yourself. You're just giving current affair information, current affairs information, which is unique and that. And I also know that you do a podcast with unique stories. Again, that is not very specific to unique stories.
Yeah.
So how did that started happening on Instagram? And did you never think that I should promote my services through Instagram or push them? And how did you end up getting 200, 300 people if Instagram was not the way? Performance marketing?
Performance marketing was one. And also, like I said, I was a part of those networking events, masterminds.
So word of mouth.
Word of mouth was there. And there were like 2,000, 3,000 people who were a part of those communities and you know, Facebook groups. So every time when I put that in, people would used to come in.
Okay.
So that was from there. I started Instagram like religiously in 2022, like I said. And I had one thing very clear. Even if I don't know what I need to do, I always know what I don't need to do. I always make sure these are the things that I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what, sometimes when you start, you don't know what you really want to do, which direction you want to go. So I just make a bookmark that, okay, these are the things that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to promote my business. I don't want to make it transactional. I want to make sure that the language is very simple for anyone to learn and understand. Mm. And what is my ultimate goal? I want to make content which makes everybody smart between their friends and their when they are going for networking. So that way I realized that what is the kind of content that I can make and where I can make the audience feel smart is by giving them content which, you know, fact-based, trend-based, and anything to do with life experiences which they need to avoid or they need to do in order to get better in their relationships, success, finance, whatever.
That's not easy because you have to be at it, and the way you concise it, that's the trick.
Yeah.
Because when I try to put out even a reel, when I edit from the podcast, I cannot understand what to remove, what to put. And then my editing, I would be like, Ash, reel has to be 45 seconds. And I'm like, no, let's just make 2.5 minutes. I said, no, the trailer has to be. And I'm like, the episode is an hour. How do I make a 30 seconds trailer?
Hmm.
So I think that's an art which you learned.
Yes, storytelling.
Yeah.
I love storytelling.
Yeah.
So
every successful businessman does.
Yes.
I see.
So storytelling is something that, you know, you're always a student.
Yeah.
So I'm a student of storytelling. I want to be, how can I become a better storyteller? How can I tell stories which matter, which makes other people, you know, heard, felt, and feel that emotional connect with that? So that's the grounding foundation for any content that I create. And then obviously there is a team involved and, you know, their inputs are involved.
But now, were they involved in 22 as well?
No, not too much. Because at that time I understood what kind of content, like I said, you know, fact-based, trend-based, and anything related to life experiences. I realized these are the things that people care about. I just went all in. It was like a switch on. Pankha chala diya hai. Ab wo chalta hi rahega.
And you had quit your job until then? Haan,
that 21 end mein I quit. 21 by the end. So I was full-time into my career. So when I started doing that, I was creating 2 videos a day. So 60 videos a month.
Wow.
And that was fully researched, fully scripted, fully everything. So like my whole day, every day I used to think tomorrow is my last day because I used to get so burnt out. I was on the edges of burning out.
But then how were you managing the other clients? Your team was doing it for you?
Team was doing, I was again like burnout is because you're doing a lot of things. You took a lot more than what you could chew.
Okay.
And but that I'm glad that I didn't burn out because that helped me to expand my the plate that I could do, and that just helped me to do multiple things. Now it doesn't feel like a lot of work.
Yeah. And then you start feeling guilty if you have 2 hours free.
That's another
because
thing.
That's a toxic trait which I started having because with the podcast we started this, but it's a lot of commitment.
It is.
And then there's the business is running, and I just told you I've been moving, and now the year end is coming, so our business, the busiest season is coming, right? So, and then there's a team to handle all this, and I keep thinking that sometimes when on the weekend I have an hour or 2 hours free, I'm like, how can I have this hour free? Ash, you could have made $500. It's not about the, because anyway, it's a money for survival right now.
Yeah.
Because any money which we make, we put it back in the business.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's how I want it to be for the next 2 years.
Mm.
I want to keep investing back in my team, in my space.
That's the best way to go.
But then the idea is that I'm always on the go. Even if I'm meeting my friends, I would always keep talking about my business because I'm so used to, that's what I do all the time. I'm talking to my mom, I'll talk about my business. People around me just get upset because they say that because what is the usual behavior? Let work remain work, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. When we're on the weekend, let's chill about family. Let's talk about relationships. For me, my family, my relationship, Monday, Friday, nothing exists. The lines are blurred. Or there are no lines.
And there are no lines.
It's just work.
Yeah.
And it's not that someone's telling me to do it.
You want it so bad that
it
just becomes a natural thing for you to do it.
Yeah, people say take a break. I said, no, I don't need a break. This is a break. This is break time for me. Talking to you doesn't feel like work.
Yeah. There's no such thing as balance now. Life and work-life balance.
I don't
balance.
Believe in this, all this bullshit, work-life balance, all this. I keep saying I'm an Elon Musk follower. So not because of the other controversial reasons, but for the reason that if you have to build something, you have to be passionate about it.
Yeah.
And that passion then doesn't have any balance.
No, it doesn't.
Work-life balance for me in the true sense is if tomorrow I'm not well, I can take an off.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours off, not when my employer tells me that between this and this, I will shut my phone for 2 hours and I'll be good. Tomorrow, if I have to go to India because I'm missing my mom and dad, I can pick up the next flight.
Yeah.
For which I need good bank balance.
Yeah.
Right? And for which I need freedom. And that is balance. Balance, I choose my balance. Balance doesn't mean 9 to 5 happy. Yeah. That is routine, schedule. Yeah. Okay, I want to have my own schedule. I want to work crazy ass. And for me, when people say I want to retire by 30, that's why I make money. No, I don't want to retire. What will you do at 30? How much money will you spend?
Yeah, I mean, you choose your, you know, that what is that you want. It doesn't have to be generalized. It doesn't have to be everybody's version of success. Everybody's version of success is different now.
Very different, yeah. So coming back to now you with Squid Media, and then you said you also started your own Instagram page, Seriously 22. And then by then, how many clients did you have from 2020 to 2022 until you started your own? So tell me a bit about your clients, and what was the scope? What was the scope of service you were providing, and ballpark where which revenue you were hitting? Again, I don't want exact figures, but ballpark what revenue you were hitting then, and what made you start your Instagram page? Like seriously, like you were doing already the back end Squid Media.
Yeah. So when I think I started, like I said, we started with the. Conversion-based marketing,
correct.
Performance marketing. And slowly and gradually, I realized that, you know, my expertise and the foundation that I really want to build is towards the content side of the business.
Okay.
So we started taking projects which were content heavy, where we can help people build their personal brands, build their brands, and help them on the social media side of the things. And performance marketing becomes a subcategory of it.
Okay.
So we started doing that. And one thing I was very sure of, that I didn't want to go for quantity.
Okay.
I want to go for quality.
Okay.
Which means I can charge $100 and have 1,000 clients. Or I can charge $10,000 and have 10 clients. That was my goal. Yeah. And I was from that mindset that I want one, let's say if I want one client, that needs to be somewhere around $10,000 to $12,000 per month. And that is where I like to go. And that's why... And I could also focus, my team could also focus better. Okay. So we would have like, you know, few number of clients in this ballpark. And that was the goal. And that's how we started. And that's what we started initially when I started. So I had very few people in terms of employees who were in over here. Like most of the team was in India. So I think when we started, I think we were 5. At this moment, we are somewhere around 10, 15, 15-ish.
15 employees?
India and here.
And how many do you have? A space? Now you have your own studio.
Yeah, we have a studio. So we earlier we used to rent whenever we used to have the studio shoots with our clients. But then we realized that it's better to own one rather than...
Flexibility.
Because now the shoots are happening at a better frequency. So we started doing that, and we also thought about the business model that, you know, how can we also make it a revenue generating asset out of it. So which is why the studio space that we created, it could also be booked as a rental space for anybody to, you know, do their own podcast, bring their own equipment. So our studio is also booked by production houses, you know, movie production houses, or when they want to do any casting, any production based on that, somebody's booking it for their own thing.
Okay.
So they book it on an hourly basis. So we made one business model out of that. Another is obviously like the service business that we provide. And that is an add-on service for people who are also booking it. If they want the services, we can also do it. But on the sideline, we are also having personal branding services, brand services, and anything related to that.
Okay, so now you are into multiple services related to marketing, like more on branding in different aspects, right? And the studio which you have, so you own that space now.
The funny thing about downtown Toronto is that you cannot own anything.
So you leased it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, people who own the building.
Yeah.
They
like this.
Exactly. So they have it from the last 100 years, from their generations.
Yeah.
Who would want to sell their, you know, it will be mad for anyone to sell it.
So
that's the place. But
you've always been in downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also wanted to make sure that if I'm in, so I call something as happiness tax.
Happiness tax. Okay.
Which means that you got to pay in order for this and this to work in an alignment, which is why the place that you live in is going to matter a lot.
So much.
Yes. How you're going to be living your life in the future, how success that you're going to get, because your mind frame needs to be. Why do they call that, you know, your home needs to be the place where, you know, you feel at ease, you're comfortable. So that is your sanctuary. So you got to invest in that in some way. Doesn't mean that you go and buy one. Live in a place where, you know, that gives you happiness.
Yes.
Even if that means you're paying a little extra for it.
Correct.
And don't call it anything, just call it happiness tax.
I have another word for it. Uh-huh. So I want to share it with you because, again, I say that whenever you're saying it feels like I am very similar to what my belief system works around is that I've always felt that when you work hard, when you enter your home, it should feel like a place of relaxation, unwinding. Irrespective, it is a rental house or you own it. It's your house. It's your home, right? Or you are with your family, you are with your, it's again your space.
Yeah.
Right. So I've always been of this belief. I call it emotional investment. When people say invest wisely, it will be a liability. So I'm just moving into a new space, right? So of course it's difficult on my pocket. I'm not saying it's easy. From a rental space to moving my own space, I need to get a few things done, this, that. And my well-wishers, like people who really care about me, would always say that, Ash, you're just by yourself. Just rent a bachelor pad, throw a mattress and be good. I say no. But they think financially it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, of course.
But I keep saying that not everything has to make sense financially.
Yeah.
You can rather not buy a Mercedes and keep going in a Camry, in a Kia.
Hmm.
Why do you have a Mercedes? So for everybody, they have some emotional investments, right? For me, that's my home.
Yeah, of course.
Or that's the space I am in. Be it this office. When we started the office, it had gray walls everywhere. And everybody advised, go into the office, get some secondhand furniture and get the business going, because that's how somebody started from the garage. And this, I said, okay, fine. But I need an emotional investment. When I come, I need to function.
Yeah. You know, one of the little things that just reminded me when you were talking about this, जब हमने स्टूडियो में ना अपने कैमरास लगाने थे, आई टोल्ड यू ना दैट आई हैड अ कैमरा बिजनेस बैक इन तो यू नो एवरीबडी सेड लाइक एवरीबडी लाइक गेट द चीपेस्ट एंड द बेस्ट क्वालिटी कैमरास एंड आई गॉट द मोस्ट एक्सपेंसिव कैमरास इन आर स्टूडियो द ब्रांड इज एक्चुअली सम इज द ब्रांड विच इन्वेंटेड सीसीटीवी कैमरास एंड बैक इन इंडिया आई यूज टू फील सो you know, I used to look up to that brand.
Yeah.
Ki, you know, someday I'll be able to own one put it.
That feeling is
so that for me, I had to pay 5 times the price just for 4 or 5 cameras that I wanted to. But that was an emotional thing because, you know, something that I realized I could not afford back then.
Yeah.
And now I have a capacity and that just makes me feel, you know, good about the environment and the place that we are working and we are living in. It just makes you work better and, you know, makes you feel better.
Pushes you forward to now you're like, now I have put in so much money.
Yeah, yeah.
I am more responsible.
Yeah. Whoever says, no, don't spend on your coffee, spend on your coffee a little.
Yeah.
Spend on the clothes that you want to wear. Spend on a little car that you want to drive. Spend wherever important.
Be wise practical, with it. But sometimes make those emotional decisions. Yes. Because that emotional happiness will push you
to do even better.
Yes. I've always listened to this interview about Shah Rukh Khan when he says when he was about to buy Mannat, the bungalow he lives in, didn't have that money.
Mm.
He said, but he got an advice, I don't remember from whom, that push yourself a little bit.
Mm.
buy a house which you cannot afford right now, because eventually you will be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will realize, oh, wow.
Mm.
Because that will remind you every day that you have to make that money.
Yes.
And money is important. Yes. Don't be comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it's a matter of 5, 6, 7, 8 months. You have to be consistent in it and positive about the things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were saying something, sorry.
No, I think that's exactly what I was talking about. That in few things that has to have a little more, little bit of an emotional angle to it. It's okay to do a little bit of thing. Don't go and buy an expensive Gucci or, you know.
To each their own, whatever. If Gucci watch gives you that push, yes.
If you think that you can afford it for them and it's not going to, you know, empty your bank balance, then go and do it. Maybe that is the driving factor for you to do even more.
Exactly. So for sure. So now we have reached 2022, two more years to go. So
let's compress that. So I think started social media, like I said, switched on.
Okay.
Started making a lot of videos. And I think in the 4 weeks, I hit 100,000 followers. And
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that was because, again, like I think it was a lot of work in the background which was done.
So it wasn't 4 weeks effectively.
It was
not 4 working weeks. No, it was maybe 2 or 3 months of work.
Yeah,
done
but,
in 4 weeks.
Yeah, but there was a lot of learning lessons from behind when I was doing doing videos and didn't do videos from the last 2-3 years, whatever that I did, and started hitting that follow count and views and everything started growing. I think in 1 year it took around, you know, On one channel, like we were at 400,000, then right now in multiple, we are around 900,000 followers. So, but the whole agenda is that, you know, how can I create content that makes you as a viewer smarter? And even the podcast's theme is that, the podcast that makes you smarter.
Yeah.
So that's my underlining thing. And I've just, like I said, the things that I don't want to do, I didn't want to make it about me. I wanted to make it about you. Yeah. So my content is not about that, you know, what kind of a business that I do. My content is about what you could do in order to improve your life. Maybe financially, maybe personally, maybe whatever aspect.
Or
that
just
you're
life stories.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear your podcast. So I listen to your podcast. So I know that a lot of good life stories, which I hear.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also
authentic.
Learning. Yeah. I'm also learning a lot from them. No? So it's like, it comes very genuine place of curiosity for me. You know,
like here. Huh. I'm listening to the story for the first time. I really didn't know how you reached this stage, right? Squid Media, so it's fun.
Mm.
Right. So last question.
I'll tell you one. Like one, since I've been hearing a lot of people's story, I think I just don't want to talk about my stories anymore, because the kind of things that people are telling me about their stories and the things that they have gone through in order to be who they are, I'm like, damn, Saz, you have not had an inch of struggle in your life the way
you
that people
even
have. You've not scratched the surface. So it just makes you humble that, you know, okay, slow down. Yeah. You're not the big guy. But yeah, it's
but I think you always have some common aspects which I feel with people, and you should, with people who you look up to. And I find those. I like purposely, this person who's successful probably is not the smartest in the room, but do I have something in common?
Yeah.
If not, then I want to develop that.
Yeah, something
right,
that you can
there.
Learn.
Because I always keep feeling the people who are the most successful in their life, and again, relatively, where they are, where I feel they're successful, it's not because they're smarter and more intelligent than me.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
They've just been at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. And of course, you have some luck which plays. They are blessed.
Yeah.
So what can I do to get closer to those aspects?
Yeah.
Right. So probably be with the right people.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, for sure. So now addressing the elephant in the room, how's the business going right now? What the future looks like, and how much ballpark is the business hitting in terms of revenue?
So the business is going good. I think we massively invested into our studio also this year. So that way, I think we started multiple revenue sources.
Okay.
In terms of revenue, I think we are pretty decent, but it's nowhere what my aim and
aim is
where I really wanted to go. So I think we are still, I think 5 years away from where we want to be at the position where I see it going. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that 5 years after.
Probably it happens in 2 years. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah,
it's so. Just, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I'll be very honest. Wherever I am today, mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for the position that I am in today. I don't want to take it for granted. I'll never will. I never imagined, I never dreamt of this. I never dreamt of this.
Yeah.
It is just the universe way of giving you back.
Correct.
So I'm every day, even if that I have a, you know, sky is the limit and I want to reach the stars, behind that is always that I can't imagine that, you know, this is what the universe has done. I'm always so grateful. And how can I give it back in some way to the person who requires the most out of me? So that kind of sense has always been there. So I think that also comes with a little bit of a age factor also hits you a bit.
Experience.
Age mein aapko...
I think it's I call it a term. Again, somebody told me this years ago that be blissfully displeased.
Hmm.
So blissful for where you are.
Yeah.
Always keep thanking your stars. But displeased because you know where you have to go. And going where you have to go is not always about numbers. I think it's always about making an impact.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
making an impact in the people who are also working with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're your responsibility. When yeah. people tell me that you don't have a family,
nah.
so you can take risk, I say, please, can you please correct yourself? I don't have one family.
Yeah.
Which I'm supporting a staff of 5 people.
Mm.
And their family.
You know how much happiness that it gives you when somebody who's employed with you and goes and buys a house.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who just got married. One of my employees just got married day before yesterday.
Okay.
And you know, that freedom, that looking at their life, that they're actually going to a different phase, they're entering a different phase. It's so satisfying that, you know, maybe I was a catalyst in all that,
mm-hmm.
but I'm glad that I was a part of their journey for whatever. Yeah, whatever, you know, the universe wanted that help to come from my side, but it just happened.
So again, it's very important to be grounded. And again, we keep going back to philosophical conversations. I think that's how...
and that's how I think you are also at probably at your core, and probably I'm also
authentic,
spiritually connected from the source. Probably that is.
And I think it's important.
Yeah.
These energies are very important. Mm-hmm. Knowingly, unknowingly, you have to manifest them, and things happen.
Yeah, you cannot control. It's a lie that we tell that, you know, we control things. You don't control anything.
Nothing.
Yeah,
I started with that saying that you cannot control the consequences. Why even think about those?
Well, just do your shit. Do your work.
Nike.
Just do it.
Just do it. Anyway, it was such an amazing conversation, Sahas.
Thank you so much
for agreeing to come for the podcast. And I hope we sit again and talk more about the business. That's what I keep telling all of my guests, that we start to talk about the business, but we go for the authentic conversation. But want to learn more about you. I would also want to learn more about the negative aspects of doing Instagram, the trolling which happens, the commenting and all. We haven't touched that.
Look at the comments that I'm getting now from the previous podcast.
I think we need another podcast to talk about what are the struggles in the business and how do you overcome those. So this one was more refreshing.
Yeah.
A positive general conversation, but I look forward to sit with you again sometime and then have another conversation.
Would love that.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
That's it.